Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this isn't what I was hoping for. This is Wretched Radio. Nope. Not gonna get to the chorus. Not even gonna get to a verse. Zoink, Scoob. Wanted to find a song about being a stranger in a strange land. So I put it into the YouTube machine. What comes up? Is it Keith Green? No. Is it a contemporary Christian artist? Of course not, because that's actually a Bible verse and contemporary Christian music doesn't use those anymore. This is Iron Maiden singing about being a stranger in a strange land. Iron Maiden. Interestingly, Todd, not really, but interestingly, if you scroll down the YouTube machine for the number of songs that are about being a stranger in a strange land, a number of people, no Christians that I could find, but that we used to call this plagiarism. We used to call this taking somebody's intellectual property that isn't theirs, lifting from the Bible. It is a part of our vernacular. Fascinatingly, even as our world increasingly does not believe in some of the sayings that they utilize on a daily basis, including I'm a stranger in a strange land, would like to share with you a number of stories that demonstrate just that. Now, here's the rub. In doing so, I realize that this could sound really depressing, but I don't want it to be depressing. I want it to encourage us to understand that you do not have to leave your country to be in a strange land. We're supposed to be strangers in a strange land. For Abraham, he had to move from Ur to Israel. We don't have to go anywhere because our nation has left us. And now we're just living in a different place. And this is an encouragement. I understand it's a bummer what's happening as you hear this massively large swirling sound of a nation going down the drain. But this is an encouragement for us to remember, if I'm living in this kind of place, what should I be doing? What business should I be about? Story number one. Trans-identified swimmer breaks women's records after competing for 3 seasons on the men's team. Sorry, I'll sober this up a little bit. That's right. A fellow who believes that he's a girl at the University of Pennsylvania just busted a bunch of records because after 3 years being on the men's team, he's decided he's a girl. So now apparently he just puts on a different bathing suit. Wah and la, he's a woman. I know we've been hearing these stories and related and sundry other stories like it. And we jest. The world has gone insane. And that's actually what this story demonstrates. Even though these people, I promise you, the people who run the University of Pennsylvania, they have skills. It's not like you would see them and go, they need to be in a white straitjacket. You would say they're professionals, they're functioning, they're running stuff, they're doing things. And yet their minds are darkened. That's the world that we are living in. The idea that I know we love Leave It to Beaver, but it just doesn't exist anymore. However, I did read a statistic this morning that the percentage of people who grow up in a two-parent family in the United States, the lowest since 1959. Isn't that interesting? We thought the 50s were perfect. In the 1950s, the percentage of people that had two parents, a mom and a dad in their home, was less than 20%. It's now dropped to that level. That is another sign that you are witnessing a country that is crumbling. That is historically traceable. A nation that stops having kids, which we've done, which stops getting married, which we are doing. It can't be a nation for long. And that's your hometown. That's where you're living. These stories, the details, because I think it's kind of, well, it's not funny, actually, for the women who have to compete against this guy. It's not funny. 200-yard freestyle. This guy beat the second-place finisher by nearly 7 seconds. Now, in swimming, that's a long time. That's probably several body lengths. And we're talking about 200-yard freestyle. Why? Well, because men are built differently. And even though he identifies himself as a goyle, he's a dude competing against women. It marked the fastest completion of the 200-yard freestyle in the history of this particular race. Fastest finish in any competition at the University of Akron, where the event took place. Broke other records at the event, finishing preliminary 500-yard freestyle in 4 minutes and 46 seconds. That's moving pretty good. The time is the best in the country. Also did the 1,650-yard freestyle. I didn't know there was such a thing. In 16 minutes, beating the second-place finisher by 38 seconds. And people say, absolutely. I think that there are 9 states currently that have legislation in high school, not college. It's more difficult in colleges to get this passed. But for high schools that say what you were born with, that's your gender, and that's the sporting category you're going into. 9. I'm not good at math, but I do believe that the majority, therefore, of states do not. 41 of them. Nothing. Okay. Boy wants to be a girl. So be it. Canada, this is what's happening in your part of the globe. You know this. The Senate, that means this is becoming law, to ban conversion therapy in Canada. You can just say bye-bye to religious liberties. This is a huge chunk of that concept that has just been chiseled away. Conversion therapy attempts to change the sexual orientation of LGBTQ individuals to heterosexual or to coerce those into questioning their identity to be in alignment with the sex assigned to them at birth. The sex assigned to them. As if I can have a child and say, thou art a gazelle. That's how I've assigned you. I've assigned you a star. That's not a baby. That's a planet. That's what we're dealing with here. Passed with unanimous consent in the House of Commons last week. By the way, this was being led by Canada's conservative branch of government, in quotation marks. No senator objected. This particular bill makes it a crime to remove a child from Canada for the purpose of conversion therapy, promote or advertise the practice, and receive financial or other material benefit from providing conversion therapy. Now, do we believe in conversion therapy like some of the horror videos that we've seen where there were these camps and, you know, they were beating the kids and, you know, putting them in cold rooms without food? Of course not. But we are about conversion. And we do know that when one is converted, they leave behind a lifestyle of sin. That's against the law now to say that in Canada. Story number whatever we're on. Oh, boy. Study finds kids aged 9 to 12 sharing nudes more than doubled in 2020. 9 to 12. These are little kids. 9 to 12. They most likely haven't hit puberty. And the world is going, I wonder what's going on there. Maybe we need to have some parameters. Parameters? Parameters? How's about this is horrible? 13 to 17-year-olds whose increase in the activity jumped to 19%. So not to be creepy about this, but look at a group of 10 kids, two of them. They're 10 years old, 10 kids, two of them are sending pictures of themselves to other people. Researchers noted that the survey data suggests that minors may be operating with less supervision in online spaces. No. They use secondary accounts. Mom and dad can't track it. They can't find it. But this isn't a diatribe about parenting your kids. Instead, this is a reminder. This is not intended to be a downer, even though I'm fully aware that it is. Nothing like the downers I'm going to be taking tomorrow. I'm just telling you, they prescribed me oxycodone. I'm not going to take it, but wow, is that stuff ever scary? Getting a tooth pulled. Todd, enough of your dental problems. What's the point? We're strangers in a strange land. We are a foreign people in this country. And we, like Abraham, and like the one that was promised to Abraham, we need to be about the Father's business. This world, if it's ever needed the gospel and we've ever needed proof and motivation that it does, I would suggest to you, we've got all the evidence that we need. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, the video.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, what do the gospel, environmentalism, sexuality, agnosticism, and social Darwinism all have in common? They're among the 13 topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. With experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arms, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Tom Hammond, among others, Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth will equip you and your kids to defend the Christian faith at school, at work, at the gas station, grocery store, and everywhere in between. Road Trip is also a perfect study to do with others in Sunday school, youth group, small groups, wherever. Just remember to grab the study guide too when picking up your copy of Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. And it's all because of the efforts of our gospel partners that resources like Road Trip to Truth are able to be produced. Would you also prayerfully consider becoming a monthly ongoing gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out all the information you may ever need at becoming a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, but because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Well, the Christmas season is here, and Christmas sale ads are invading every piece of your life. Well, hopefully, this Christmas ad won't annoy you quite as much as the others. We don't have a list that we're checking twice around here because everybody is wretched. This isn't a works-based Christmas sale. Nope, it's a wretched Christmas giving gratitude, not sales event. Meaning we're not trying to compel or trick you into spending your money. We're actually helping you spend less of it and giving you a whole bunch of stuff in the process. Through the end of the year, select items in the Wretched store are 50% off. Plus, orders of $50 or more will receive free shipping and a free copy of Road Trip to Truth Season 1. We appreciate all you do to support Wretched through the year. So don't miss the Wretched Christmas Giving Gratitude Not Sales event happening now at wretched.org/store. That's wretched.org/store.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. the Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Somebody please talk me off the ledge. This is Wretched Radio. So tempted right now to do something really dumb. Friel, you've never resisted the temptation before. Perhaps you'll recall, to a fair amount of people's consternation, we've discussed, okay, we've been somewhat emphatic about it, but not cult-like, regarding the issue of the relationship between Jesus Christ, his church, and the nation we live in. And we have been seeing a deterioration of Christian symbols in public places, and that annoys a lot of people. I have a slightly different take on it. I am not sure that we should be lending our Christian symbols to a secular, downright anti-God government. What are we doing? Furthermore, to force corporations to say Merry Christmas, or we're going to boycott you. What is that? This is the celebration of the birth of the Son of God. Why do we want to force people to utter a statement of faith that they do not believe? And maybe it's just time to take a look at the world that we're currently living in. I don't want to go back to 1962 to figure out what happened then, but we can take a look at what's going on now and maybe ask the question, is it time to say to the government, we don't want you using our holiday anymore? I know that would just soar the heart of Dan Barker at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He doesn't want Christmas to be celebrated for a different reason. He doesn't want it that there is a religion endorsed by the government. I'm wondering if we shouldn't. Oh, this hurts. Join Dan Barker, but for a completely different reason. We don't want an endorsement of our holiday because the world, the government, the retailers, they do not celebrate it the way that it was intended. It is supposed to be singing to God songs of praise because he sent a savior. And we've let the holiday go, and the secularists own it. And I have a story in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers that tempts me to start a cult on this, Jimmy. I'm thinking about it. I shouldn't do it, so just talk me off a ledge on this one.
Hey, Todd, don't do that.
A little stamp history for your consideration. This has nothing to do with J.D. Sumner. If you got that reference, you know too much about Elvis Presley. There's no manger or magi in the holiday stamps this year. That's the article headline because somebody took the time to take a look and see what is the U.S. government cranking out for stamps at the national holiday known as Christmas. Ain't got nothing to do with Christ. Not a single one. What does that tell me? That the government feels it's okay to utilize a stamp to increase sales because that's why they were originally invented. They saw an opportunity to increase sales of stamps, but they don't honor the Christ of Christmas. Why do we want them to make stamps at all for our holiday? Here's the history of stampage. 1962 is the first Christmas stamp. And despite its popularity, the stamp made History.com's list of the 11 most controversial stamps, which said it was attacked for crossing the line between church and state, as well as for slighting other faiths. Now, that would be Dan Barker's argument. I join a different group of people who existed in 1962. Some Christians objected to it, saying the government had no business intruding into our religion. This is not a new thought, but it's something that we haven't considered because, well, we just stopped thinking that because the tidal wave, it just washed over us and we Merry Christmas. We expect the government to put out stamps. Starbucks better at least use a red cup this year. Otherwise, we're not going to drink their coffee. And instead, I'm wondering if we should flip the lens on this. Why should we let you, Starbucks, ho, 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 our holiday? Why should we want our government, who seems bent these days, not everybody in government, but predominantly bent on taking innocent human lives, redefining marriage, imposing values that are clearly detached from reality? We want to insist that this remain a national holiday? Furthermore, from the article, the stamp brought on a 1967 lawsuit by whom? Not Dan Barker and Freedom From Religion. Not Ron Reagan Jr. He was probably a little young for that. The lawsuit regarding stamps was brought by Protestants and other Americans united for separation of church and state, who argued the likeness of the Madonna is a religious symbol commonly associated with the Roman Catholic Church, and that, therefore, for the governments to issue such a postage stamp violates the First Amendment of the Constitution. I personally am less interested, I'm not disinterested, in the subject of separation of church and state, but I am wondering if we shouldn't be asking for it in this regard. Now, remember, separation of church and state does not mean that religious people cannot occupy a political office or that they cannot speak their faith values if they choose to out on a political stump. That's not separation of church and state, but the government apparently endorsing a religion, well, I could have that conversation and maybe find myself being somewhat sympathetic if I put myself in the shoes of an atheist, but that's not my interest. My interest is that we are letting them do these things to our holiday. Not persuaded? Let me take you to Fairfax County. This is the place where the school was outed for having two books in the library that are really awful. Lawn Boy and Gender Queer. Apparently, it tells the tales and shows images of a 10-year-old boy with a grown man. The parents complained. The Fairfax County School District seemed agog, simply agog. So what did they do? They had some people study it. Are these books really about endorsing pedophilia? Are these books really inappropriate for children? And this council, whoever these people are that they assembled, said, no, it's not. Put the books back in the library. It's just springs want to pop out of your head. But what does that have to do with Christmas and maybe our attitude about sharing our holiday? The county library, and apparently this display was passed by the head of the library, put Genderqueer and Lawn Boy next to a Bible in a holiday reading display. This is our world. And in a library in Virginia, they think that they can put these two books next to our Bible. Now, a bunch of people complain. They took the thing down. But the point has been made. The world doesn't esteem Christianity or the Christ of Christmas. Why do we want to besmirch our Bible with those books? Why do we want to allow people to just use? Muslims don't do this. Can you just even imagine for a second? If Muslims would, somebody would create some sort of holiday. This might actually be a fun exercise. What could be a holiday for Islam? Oh, I know. You're determined if you're naughty or nice, and either way, you could get beat. Something like that. They would be furious. You can't take our holiday. Consider this. Let's just change the object that we're discussing, and that is Christmas. Let's talk about the Lord's table, where we assemble to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And imagine if the government said, we're going to have National Communion Day, and everybody can have the day off of work to do communion. We encourage you to do communion. Then a little bit of time transpired, and suddenly communion, it suddenly involved designer bread and fancy wine. And, well, we added some cheese and salami. And we added some brie. Todd, that is a cheese. We added these. And that's communion day. And guess what? We've got Communion Charlie. Look at the kids love Communion Charlie. You would say, stop with the blasphemy. And I think that is exactly what we're dealing with here regarding Christmas. Can you imagine the government creating Baptism Bob for National Dunking Day? Hey, everybody, you get time off of work and we're going to have TV specials. Michael Bublé is going to sing about Baptism Bob coming to town to dunk your little kids. It's going to be great. You'd say, stop it. Stop it. That's ours. And while I don't want to start a cult, and I'd encourage you to call me down from a ledge if that's what this sounds like, I think this is a demonstration where we just don't see things through a Christ lens as much as an American lens. Discuss. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a bit of chaos was caused recently in Kansas City by an escaped camel. That's right, a camel escaped a live nativity scene and managed to elude authorities for over 24 hours. And some people are surprised by the fact that the camel was able to outsmart and outwit authorities for over 24 hours, but it makes total sense to me. I mean, he was probably able to blend into his surroundings with his camouflage.
What do you mean we're lucky to be white?
It's not luck, it's privilege.
We're privileged.
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 We're privileged.
We're privileged. And that's unfair.
Yeah, that was a seemingly pointless snippet of video recently posted to social media of white people denouncing their white privilege and proclaiming their white guilt. Why? Well, don't you know? Because being woke is trendy. All the critical theorists are doing it. Well, a man by the name of Craig Duke was recently fired from the United Methodist Church he served as pastor for over 30 years. Well, it seems as though Craig enjoys playing dress-up in his wife's closet and even went so far as to appear on a new HBO show about drag queens. As I said, he served as a Methodist pastor for over 30 years. His wife also has served as a youth pastor. Well, apparently, this entire family lives in a pretend world. Hopefully, they'll return to reality soon, and if not, I guess they fit right in with our current society. Earlier this week, some members of Congress delivered in person to Google CEO a letter demanding his company stop censoring ads for the life-saving abortion pill reversal procedure. The 23 lawmakers accused Google of blacking out ads, nearly entirely silencing this pro-life effort, and they've accused the tech giant of violating antitrust laws and abusing its power. Google definitely is abusing something. I'm not real sure about the aspects of all the antitrust laws, but I know when there's smoke, there's fire. Well, I bet you didn't see this one coming. Pfizer CEO said yesterday that a fourth COVID vaccine would likely be necessary for people to be considered fully vaccinated. And look, this isn't a pro or anti-vax story. I think folks need to do whatever they feel is best for themselves. But what I do find increasingly goofy is the continual changing of definitions that until last year had been in place for decades. Where is this going to end? Honestly, it's probably not. And attacks on Christians in India have increased recently since the government in one region proposed an anti-conversion law. Officials with International Christian Concerns say that anti-conversion laws often lead to attacks against Christians, which is exactly what's been happening in this southern region of India over the last month. Please, as we tell you all the time here at Wretched, make sure that you're in constant and continual prayer for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, you have a Social Security card, but you and I, dear Christian, are now foreigners. This is Wretched Radio. As we look around our union and we see a redefining of virtually everything, a detachment from reality, perhaps we would do well to study these signs of the times, to be aware of what is going on. And I do believe that's biblical, not in an eschatological way. But I do think we can take a look at the signs of the times to figure out what's going on. How do I come up with that? Because Jesus scolded the Jewish people. You can tell everybody what the weather is going to be like today by looking at the sign of the sun rising. What color is it? Or what color is it when it sets? And yet you cannot figure out the clear sign of the time that Messiah has come. And so I think we can take a look at cultural cues and try to assess it, figure out what's going on, and perhaps adjust, if nothing else, our attitude, but perhaps our approach to living in this world. All of the issues that are causing not just the division, but just pressures on Christians and a fair amount of heartache as we look at a world that's just going right out from underneath us. We instead of just lamenting, and I said just because I think it is right to lament when you see what this is the best human beings have done in the United States of America. This is the best. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but so far, nobody's beat it. Not Rome, Greece, Mesopotamia, England. This has been the best social experiment ever. And it's a bummer that it's getting trashed. But maybe the Lord would help us to read the signs of the times, to adjust our hearts, and adjust how we engage in this world. Perhaps some stories to encourage you to do just that. I was talking about the Fairfax County Library in Virginia, that there were two books that were just vulgar. And this was brought to the attention of the school board, who, of course, said, oh, no, we'd never do such a thing. Well, the parents squawked even louder. And so a board reviewed the books and said, no, it's not pedophilia, even though it is. But in this particular article reporting this story in Fox News, this is from a parent. You guys in the press have been in a quandary since you can't broadcast the images because it violates FCC regulations. The FCC says the materials can't be broadcast because they're obscene. Huh. But Fairfax County Public Schools says they're not obscene. The images in the book cannot be mass distributed because it violates FCC standards. But we have them available for the kids in the library at the public schools that we're paying for. How does the committee come to the conclusion that these materials are not obscene when nobody can print them or broadcast them on a national level? How do they do that? Their minds are darkened. Simple as that. Their minds are darkened. And I think we can assess and identify a number of the pieces of the puzzle that are being put together to paint this secular picture of a country. Pornography, I'm telling you, this, don't think it doesn't play into Fairfax County schools. Those people who sit on the board most likely engage regularly in pornography. How exactly can they condemn what's going on in those books when that's what they're doing in the privacy of their own computer? It's almost certain the number of people, and I'm sorry, the number of pastors who won't even talk about pornography because they themselves are watching it. And it's true. I recently read a statistic. I'm hoping it's as low as about 20% of pastors say, yeah, well, I watch porn regularly. 20% that we're willing to admit it. It's a scourge, and it has caused a lot of people to water down their sexual mores because how dare they call the kettle black? Another story to remind us we are strangers living in a strange land. A new poll shows the next generation of Americans hate their own country. Hate it. They hate America. Harvard Kennedy School's Institute of Politics, a biannual Harvard youth poll, been going on for 20 years. This is 18 to 29-year-olds. What do you think about the state of our country? 31% said America is the greatest country in the world. 31% thought that. the majority of kids don't. In fact, they don't like it. The next generations of Americans hate their own country. Why? Because they hate what they think that it was. This Christian patriarchy imposing our puritanical values on people, oppressing them, holding them down, keeping people from expressing themselves, not allowing love to be love. And they look at that country and they hate it. You look at that country and you love it. They hate it. And that is why there's a grand effort to change that country. In fact, I do recall a president who won in 2008 who made it plain, we're going to fundamentally change this country. That's because they hate it. And you live in it. A nation that we used to look at and go, Whitney Houston canned the national anthem and now the Jets are going over. Now people kneel during that. We're living in a strange land. 22 states have joined forces because of the school in Florida that's saying, you got to be a boy to use the boys' room. Got to be a girl to use the girls' locker room. 22 states are saying no. And so they're suing the state of Florida. Signed onto a brief demanding that a Florida school district allows a trans-identified student to use the bathroom that matches their chosen identity rather than biological sex. Because this is discrimination. No, this is insanity. 22 attorneys general signed on to this. 22. No doubt their governor had to approve. No doubt they wouldn't do it if they thought that it would get them booted out of office. 22 states. Would you like to know which ones they are? I thought you might. Here's the 22 states. District of Columbia, no shocker. New York, no shocker. California, nothing breaking here. Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Minnesota. How can this be? Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Virginia. The policy fails to advance any legitimate interest such as protecting public safety or personal privacy. It's only a function to stigmatize a particular group, said the attorneys general. Really? And there's no interest in people's privacy being protected when a boy is in the girls' locker room. Nothing about privacy there. This is just it's insanity. We're living in a different world. And I don't know that there is enough of logic and philosophical resources available to these people to be persuaded. No, they need regeneration. They need the gospel. And by the way, speaking of this trans issue and schools and people that aren't being considered like the kids who have to see another gender in their locker room or bathroom, there was an interesting article that was written in The Federalist. Therapists have betrayed the parents of gender-confused kids. There's something rotten in the state of my profession, said this psychologist, and it's the mental health field. While therapists are usually the first to reach out to trauma victims, there's one group we neglect. Even worse, we blame them. Who are they? The parents of gender-confused kids. This woman has objected to the new DSM view that it's an identity and you can label yourself anything you want and it's not mental illness, and she's been speaking out against it. My patients are shocked, overwhelmed, confused, and anxious. They're not sleeping or eating. Many have post-traumatic stress disorder. And what do those parents get when they visit a psychologist? You're the problem. You stay out of it. You've got to let your kid do awful things to their body and we're going to pump them full of hormones. And you're the bad guy. The United Kingdom, Sweden, and Finland carefully examined the dangers of hormonal treatment of minors and minors' ability to give informed consent for these treatments. As a result, those countries made U-turns in their policies. Patients must wait until they're 18 years old for medical intervention. And that's also being discussed in New Zealand and Australia. But not here. There are 1 million psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and counselors in the U.S. of A. And they are mostly blaming parents for the struggles of children. That's your world. That's your nation. That's your home. And I suspect Abraham, when he moved into this strange land, surrounded by strange people, doing strange things, he didn't settle in and say, let's just work on making sure everybody says Merry Christmas. Maybe we should consider ourselves more like Abraham. This is Wretched Radio. Here are three words that can strike terror in the heart of any Christian. Open enrollment month. The three words that can make you shudder if you have to renew or find a new health insurance program. Did you know every month is an open enrollment month with MediShare? Affordable biblical health care sharing, a huge savings per family, on average $500 per month. You have access to a massive doctor network and MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. It shouldn't be a surprise that MediShare's double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So instead of experiencing the terrors this year, how's about getting in touch with MediShare? You can do that by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, or visit MediShare.com/wretched.
It seems like everywhere you look, you find a survey about something these days. And of course, Wretched, we didn't want to miss out on this trend, so we conducted our own survey. Actually, I just asked a couple of people across the hall, but here are the results. When asked, what's your favorite part of Christmas? 100% of respondents said, celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. Without Christ, there's no reason for Wretched. We realize we can't do any of this without you. It wouldn't be possible to produce the content and resources that we do without the support of our gospel partners. During this time of year where we should all reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner and help us to continue reaching the lost all over the world? Just visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
And now, another great story from Cindy Marty of the Tomorrow Club.
The mother of a Tomorrow Club's child who's a university teacher, she just got saved because her daughter was going to the Tomorrow Club. Now she's bringing the gospel into her university.
Over and over and over again, we hear those stories and we never grow tired of them. Eastern Europe is being impacted by the Tomorrow Clubs, kids meeting clubs. The kids come, they learn about Jesus, they sing songs, they pray prayers, they get some snacks, and they get loved on, they get saved, they bring the gospel home to mom and dad, they get saved, then they bring the gospel. It's like the shampoo commercial, and so on and so on and so on. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? It's $30 a month for 30 little disciples. It's having a massive impact in Eastern Europe. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill his promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. You can rest assured that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church. This is Wretched Radio. Why the bot-like reading? I'll explain that in a bit. But first, let's dive deep into the contents of an article written by Dr. John MacArthur titled, Christ, not Caesar, is head of the church. He deals with the issue of a government that tries to open up the front door of a church to invite itself in. What is the response of the church? What should a pastor do? How should we Christians be responding when the government gets involved in church affairs? I think Dr. MacArthur summarizes it as well as anybody can, and it will help you and your church to navigate through these choppy waters. Give or take 15 years ago, Rick Appleton, do you remember Brainiac? I believe he's a Presbyterian pastor now. Super whip-smart dude. Worked at the ministry, and I could be wrong about this, but I think we were traveling through Europe doing Living Waters season, Way of the Master season 4. And Rick introduced me to a concept of jurisdictional authority. That God has established realms, and each one has a limited authority. Because that's how the Bible represents government, family, and church. And we need to keep jurisdictional authority in view even as we look at Romans 13. Dr. MacArthur said this, insofar as government authorities do not attempt to assert ecclesiastical church authority or issue orders that forbid or our obedience to God's law, their authority is to be obeyed, whether we agree with their rulings or not. In other words, writes MacArthur, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 still bind the consciences of individual Christians. We are to obey our civil authorities as powers that God himself has ordained. Now, many people, they would stop right there. That would be wrong. The Bible has another word to speak about the church, about the government, about the family, what their roles and limitations are. So Dr. MacArthur continues, God has established these institutions, and each one has a sphere of authority with jurisdictional limits that must be respected. And he now gives some examples. A father's authority is limited to his own family. So Dad, you've got some authority, but it's you and your family. Nobody else's family, by the way, and not the government, and not the church. God limits your authority. Church leaders' authority, delegated to them by Christ, is limited to church matters. That also limits a pastor or board of elders' involvement in civil affairs, and even to a degree, rightly understood, and there's a gazillion scenarios, familial affairs. If it is a spiritual issue, yes. When it leaves that realm, ooh, it starts better think it through long and hard. Do I have jurisdiction regarding this issue in that realm of authority? These aren't easy issues. Government is specifically tasked with the oversight and protection of civic peace and well-being within the boundaries of a nation or a community. God has not granted civic rulers authority over the doctrine, practice, or polity of the church. It's not their jurisdiction. The biblical framework limits the authority of each institution to its specific jurisdiction. Now, let's reread our headline, because here's what you got. You got some tension, and I think a fair amount of Christians are struggling with how to harmonize this tension, because one feels passive and weak and un-American. The other makes us sound like we are revolutionaries. Here's the headline, read two different ways. Christ, not Caesar, is head of the church. That's one way to read it. Here's another way to read it. Christ, not Caesar, is head of the church. You feel the difference, don't you? And I think that we need to be more of the former and less of the latter. Why? Because we're not revolutionaries. We're not defiers. We're not rebellers. If you take the time to go Merriam-Webster, those three words, defy, resist, rebel, they all have a component of fight. They all have a component of put them up, government. I'm coming at you. We're the opposition. Nope. Romans 13 says, You're the good citizens. But realms of jurisdictional authority say we don't have to do everything that we're told by a government, whether we agree with it or not, because they do not have the authority by God to enter into this realm. And it is our job to defend that realm. Why? Because God has ordained it. We are the pillar, the foundation of the truth. And if the government intrudes, tries to redefine truth, tries to redefine how we do worship, even polity. It's interesting, MacArthur said that. And when I say MacArthur, I mean Dr. MacArthur, sir. Doctrine, practice, or polity. So when the church enters in, oh, sorry, we can't do that. But it's not, put them up! Put them up! That's, I think, the balance that needs to be considered. And perhaps, maybe, just maybe, phraseology is super important. You see this all the time, the abortion remangling of words, definitions, genders, sexuality, all of those terms. They're redefined and you don't really know what they mean, and it helps win the argument because there's power in how we present an issue. And so when we use words like resist, defy, oppose, revolt, it assumes a posture of aggression. And according to Romans 13, that's not our posture, but that doesn't mean that we let them into the place where they don't belong. That is our balance. And I think that if we would maybe just choose our words wiselier, that's right. That's kind of ironic. Choose our words wiselier. We would say something like this. We submit to the government unless they command us to sin, forbid us from obeying a command, or they enter into the ecclesiastical realm without authority, with a desire to affect doctrine, polity, and practice of the church. That's different than we need to defy the government. We need to rebel. We need to resist. We need to revolt. It's different. And I don't think we lose anything except our testimony if we don't. I think adopt a phrasing that says, oh, no, we're grateful for government. In this instance, with what they're trying to do inside of our church, we obey Christ, and it's his realm, and he reigns there, and we are the defenders of the truth, which is contained inside of the church. And so we have to, unfortunately, say no to the government. That is, I think, finding the correct phraseology, balance, and emphasis that combines jurisdictional authority and Romans 13. MacArthur continues, the church does not have the right to meddle in the affairs of individual families and ignore parental authority. Parents do not have authority to manage civil matters. Similarly, government officials have no right to intervene in ecclesiastical matters in a way that undermines or disregards the God-given authority of pastors and elders. There it is. I don't know that the whole biblical presentation on the Christian posture toward government could be any more pithier list than that. Said another way, it has never been the prerogative of civil government to order, modify, forbid, or mandate worship. When, how, and how often the church worships is not subject to Caesar. Caesar himself is subject to God. Now, we want to understand that rightly, because that can be taken to an extreme too. But that is everybody answers to God. Everybody. Jesus affirmed that principle when he told Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it was given to you from above. And because Christ is the head of the church, ecclesiastical matters pertain to his kingdom, not Caesar's. And Jesus draws a stark distinction between those two kingdoms when he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar and render unto God that which is God's. He never offered to Caesar what belongs solely to God. The honor that we rightly owe our earthly governors and magistrates, Romans 13:7, does not include compliance when such officials attempt to subvert sound doctrine, corrupt biblical authority, exercise ecclesiastical authority, or supplant Christ as head of the church in any other way. That we should memorize that sentence right there. Because that is a whole lot different than going, it's time for us to stand up against the government. No, it's not. It's time for us to defend the pillar and foundation of the church, because Christ is head of the church. And we will not be revolters, revolutionaries, resistors, defiers, rebellers. No, We are a law-abiding people who abides chiefly by the laws of Jesus Christ. And we harmonize his commands in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 to be submissive while recognizing jurisdictional authorities. With those two rightly married, that is how the church should be living in a strange government in a strange new land. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.